Hi, I'm Sam Vokes at Wickham Wanderers, and you're listening to Wickham Sound.
The Wickham Wanderers Show.
Welcome to this week's edition of The Wickham Wanderers Show. We're in our fifth series. If you're new to the programme, where have you been? You can catch up, by the way. There's a podcast version, wherever you get your podcast from, where you can listen to previous episodes. We're on the Wickham Sound radio page. Excuse me. We're on YouTube, and also, I'm fine, honestly. And on the Listen Again feature on the website, you'll catch the last four episodes there. The reason I mention it is because for the first time in the four and a bit series that we've had of this show, I'm saying for the first time, we're building up to a sellout League One game on Saturday with a visit of Wrexham. I only just got that out. And we'll be celebrating that throughout this hour. We'll hear from head coach Mike Dodds. We'll hear how training's been going this week in the build-up to that game. We'll catch up with someone who'll be at the game, a former Wickham Wanderers captain, with thanks to the Wickham Wanderers Ex-Player Association. We'll hear from Joe Jacobson. He'll be there. And also a prestigious event taking place at Adams Park next week. It's the first league game ever for Wickham Wanderers women. Carl Simon, the Wickham Wanderers manager, joins us. But first, let's catch up with Phil and also more on the when the business end of the season is. More on that as well. I know. But first, Phil, with a look ahead to what's set to be quite a big Saturday.
Yeah, big game, isn't it? I think this is the biggest game in the Football League this weekend. There we are. Second versus third in League One. Teams tied at long points. We've got a game in hand. A better goal difference. That's why we're in second. But this is a big tie, isn't it? And obviously, the people of Wickham and South Bucks have embraced this one too. And they're coming out to see Wickham versus Wrexham. And, you know, let's be honest, there'll probably be some people there who would have been watching Wrexham on the Netflix series and would have had their interest piqued. And a great opportunity to come down and see what it's all about at Wickham Wanderers and Adams Park. We've had a great season so far. And, you know, we are, I think I'm calling it now, Colin, this is officially the business end of the season, I think, from this game onwards. So a great time to come down and see what's going on.
And a real six-pointer, as we briefly mentioned last week, but helped, of course, by Tuesday night's outcome.
Yeah. Wrexham played Tuesday, which I think, you know, is big as well, because Wrexham, having a midweek away game, you know, I know they're all supremely fit athletes, whatever, but it still has an effect, especially when you lose. You still have to go all the way back to North Wales and then all the way back down to Wickham again, which isn't far from Reading. But they, by all accounts, speaking to their fan base this week, they didn't play well on Tuesday, which I don't think we can read too much into that, because in the past when they've struggled in games, their response to the next game has often been very impressive. So still to be very wary about that, I think. But look, this is a six-pointer. We've talked about pressure being a privilege. There's a lot of pressure on this game. Isn't it great that we're doing this at the top end of the table? We're not down the bottom worrying about six-pointers and being above a dotted line about going out division the other way. This is a fantastic position to be in, a fantastic game to have here at Adams Park, and hopefully can start the run of very busy home games between now and the end of the season.
Now that we've confirmed the business end of the season, this is extra special, I think, as well. And quite a moment for everyone concerned, I think. But also,
I feel like we should have let a klaxon off.
Exactly, yeah. The starter gun has gone for the business end. The people are charged. It's like the sales, isn't it? When you see on the TV, the people just rushing for the... And that's what they'll be doing on Saturday, I imagine. And listening to Ringing the Blues this week as well with Mike's post-match reaction from the Peterborough game, you know, that was a sort of a game of two halves. So he'll be hoping for a much better first 45 on Saturday.
Yeah, I think, you know, the positives will be that we came back from a poor start. You know, we conceded a penalty. Fans will have their own view on whether it was a penalty or not. Either way, the referee gave it. Peterborough converted it, which meant we had to come back into the game, which we did. I think we had enough chances to win the game, certainly in the second half. Richard Kona had a goal disallowed, a header from a corner, which on replays, I struggle to see why. But obviously, we have replays, referees don't. So those decisions go for you some weeks and against you the next. So we could say that we might be owed one between now and the end of the season, which would be good. So the positives would be that second half performance. But, you know, I think in front of a packed Adams Park, we want to see the team come out rearing to go on Saturday, 3 o'clock, and hopefully put on a real spectacle for everybody.
And be great as well if the home team can put on such a controlling display as they have done in many recent games as well.
Yeah. That's been the thing, isn't it? We don't tend to concede many goals, and when they do, we've had that goal at Crawley, which was a world class strike, penalty against Peterborough, and so these aren't sort of we're not getting sort of ripped apart in open play. We look very solid in control, and with Richard Koné alongside Dan Udoh up top, looking really potent as well. And we've got Gareth McCleary, Fernando Dimma, Barry Labala, etc. James Berry making his debut. So there's lots of options up top. Lots of people wanting game time, and to do so, they've got to really catch the eye and get themselves put on that team sheet. So look, it's a great position to be in. And yeah, I'm glad I'm not the one having to pick the team because it's a really excellent squad, isn't it? So and it's a squad game, squad effort. Everyone's gonna have to play their part between now and the start of May. But yeah, huge, huge games coming up. And yeah, I think this one, we've been licking our lips about this one since the fixtures came out last June. We didn't realise back then, obviously, the gravitas this fixture would have around it when we finally got here. But what a position to be in.
There should be such a great atmosphere as well with such a bumper crowd.
Yes, yeah, and I think it's, for a regular league game to be sold out. I can't remember the last time we did that. So this is excellent and a really good opportunity for the club to put on a good show, not just on the pitch, but around Adams Park as well. And hopefully these people who may be coming for the first time or for the first time in a long time could be tempted to come more regularly between now and the end of this season and beyond.
You can imagine, can't you? People are saying, we should go this season. When would be a good time to go? Well, we've looked at the fixtures and we listened to the Wickham Wanderers show, and we believe the business end is when we should really start really going in to support the team.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with the fact you might be sat next to Ryan Reynolds at all. No. I think the documentary's done a wonderful thing for League One football, or lower league football. Obviously, this is their first time back in League One for some time. But I think it's done a wonderful thing in terms of shining the light on the pyramid. And, it's not just Wrexham down here doing good things. There's lots of great clubs and us being one of them. So, look, I think it's a great thing. If it means that people are now aware of their local team via a team from North Wales, via a bloke in Hollywood, then that's the wonderful way of the world now. But, it's doing good for football. And Wickham is doing fantastic things for South Bucks and putting High Wycombe on the map. So it's wonderful that people now have got the opportunity to get involved.
And really nice for anyone who perhaps hasn't come for a long time or is coming for the first time to see the great kind of attacking football that Wickham are playing and really really back the team at this crucial time.
Yeah, and I think it's an intriguing game, isn't it? Because Phil Parkinson, the manager of Wrexham, has got a fairly sort of set in stone way of playing, and they don't tend to worry too much about possession. They like to play on the counter attack. Which I think will invite Wickham onto them, and it will be up to Wickham now to try and play their way through that rear guard action and make sure that they can make their possession dominance count on the day. And to do that is by playing great football. So hopefully we see some of that on Saturday.
And it feels a fairly settled team that the head coach is going with at the moment as well.
Yeah. I think certainly defensively, it's kind of solid, isn't it? Like we said earlier on, we don't let many goals in. I think that heart of the defence, Joe Lowe, Caleb Taylor. If it is switched to a three, then Sonny Bradley's there too. Declan Skua has done well this season, and there's competition all over the park, which is excellent. That's what you want. And as I said earlier on, I'm just glad I'm not the one having to make the choices, because these are tough choices, because this is the strongest squad I can remember Wickham Wanderers ever having.
No, absolutely. And like we say, it doesn't get much sort of tastier, if you like, than when you consider where the two teams are in the division and what's at stake.
Yes. Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It's a six-pointer, like we mentioned earlier on. This isn't a winner-takes-all game. There's still plenty of points and football to be played after this. But obviously, it can really make things a bit more comfortable with Wickham. I've got some pretty interesting fixtures coming up as well between now and the end of the season. Everyone's done the analysis on who's got the easier running, and I don't think there are easy games in League One. I think we've all learned that by now, that teams can do marvellous things if they're at the bottom of the table, certainly when they're under pressure. So look, I think everyone will just do the old other cliche, taking each game as it comes. Wickham have a game in hand as well, so a win on Saturday, and then if they can win their game in hand on Tuesday at Rotherham, that would be a fantastic week for the chairboys. So we shall see what happens.
Really nice to go into that international break as well with kind of reset, and then the sort of real, as you say, kind of, I don't know what you call it, because if we're in the business end, then that will be the business end, won't it? But approaching the run-in, that bit.
Yeah, running, business end, they're kind of the same thing. I don't know. Are they the same thing? We talked about this the other week. But, you know, it'd be good to get some business done this Saturday and the following Tuesday. I think that'd be a big statement going into the running. And put pressure on everyone else. That's what it's all about. Not everyone is going to win every game between now and the end of the season. I think that's fairly sure. It's about, you know, just concentrating on yourself, putting in good performances, getting the results, and then see where it happens, see where you end up. But, you know, we're in the box seat at the moment. And, at this stage of the season, that's a fantastic achievement. But you don't get anything for it for now. We need to keep our heads down, keep working hard and get ourselves across the line.
Should be a great afternoon out. Obviously, fantastic atmosphere and with the flags as well that the fans have ever made up to. And you've got Steve Brown in the Legends Lounge, I understand, as well.
Yeah, brilliant, isn't it, to have Brownie with us? It's a big sellout game, and you know it's great to have someone who's in our sort of top 10 appearance makers in the club's history, Steve Brown, and also I think he did score against Wrexham in a 4-1 win many years ago, which I'm sure people listening to this will remember fondly. He's a great character as well. And a great student of the game, still involved in the game at Arsenal in Talent ID. So it's always a pleasure to talk to him. So, yeah, having Brownie with us for a big game like this will be fantastic.
Well, it's a pleasure to speak to you also, and enjoy the game on Saturday.
Cheers, Colin. Thanks very much.
Brilliant to catch up with Phil. He'll be bringing you the whole game live, of course, here on Wickham Sound. If you haven't been able to get a ticket or if you're not already going, you can hear full match commentary here on Wickham Sound and on Wanderers TV, of course. Kickoff is at 3 o'clock. Just to let you know, the Stevenage game on the 12th of April, that's been brought forward to a 12:30 kickoff. That's due to Sky Sports Plus. Enjoy that.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire. And on your smart speaker.
Play Wickham Sound.
This is Wickham Sound.
In the future, you'll be able to watch TV on your microwave, 3D print yourself a personal butler.
You rang, Mom?
And get fit by just looking at a treadmill. Okay, maybe not that. But wherever the technology does go, radio will go there too. Because Radio Player is working with the world's leading car and tech companies to keep radio out in front. Radio Player. In the car, in the home, in the future. Find out more at radioplayer.org.
The Chair Boys are flying high in League One this season, so come on down to Adams Park, get behind the boys and play your part in what will be a memorable season for Wickham Wanderers.
71 minutes on the clock, up against Jed Stitt, dancing around on his line. The
Take
right
your time,
foot
Rich.
Of
Take
Richard
your time.
Kono. Here he comes.
Score!
It's been goals, goals, goals for the Chair Boys so far this season. Come on down to Adams Park to play your part and get behind the boys. Head to tickets.wwfc.com and use the code SOUND on booking for a chance to win a gantry experience at a Wickham Wanderers home match. Come on, you Blues.
Saturdays on Wickham Sound, the Coffee Lounge.
It's Saturday morning. This is Wickham Sound. It's just gone 10 o'clock. Fancy a coffee?
Tea, please. White nor sugar.
Coffee, please. Black with one.
Coffee in the morning.
Black coffee, one sugar.
Tea, coffee, no sugar in each, but nice and strong.
Tea in the afternoon, and none of your fancy tea, just a good old cup of British English Builder's tea.
Cappuccino, please.
Tea, just a splash of milk, three sweeteners, and I like it to be the colour of an HMRC envelope.
The Coffee Lounge. The best hot beverage-based show on a Saturday morning on Wickham Sound. Well, apart from breakfast, obviously.
Just give me a hot cup of coffee and a good book in my hand. Let me stay right here.
The Coffee Lounge on Wickham Sound. The Wickham Wanderers Show. Thursdays from 7.
Part two of this week's Wickham Wanderers Show. Still to come, we'll hear from the head coaches of the respective men's and women's teams, who both sit second in their divisions this now. I was going to say this week. Well, that's true as well. Or was I going to say this season? I don't know. Neither seemed to make sense. I went for nothing. I just panicked and didn't know what to say.
Anyway, I hope your day is going well. Wherever you're listening to the Wickham Wanderer Show this week, we mentioned that Steve Brown is going to be at the Legends Lounge on Saturday for the Wrexham game. Someone else who'll be in attendance is someone who made 400 appearances for the club. Like Steve Brown, played at left back, was club captain as well, and very pleased to catch up with Joe Jacobson and get his earliest memories of his time at Adams Park.
I did play there for opposition teams a couple of times as well for Accrington. I remember scoring a goal, I think it was a winner, a couple of years earlier than that, and also for Bristol Rovers even further back than that as well. And both times we managed to win the game, which was nice. But then when I had a phone call one evening, I was at a cricket match in a Glamorgan T20 game in Cardiff with my dad, and Gareth and Dobbo just called me one day. They were in the car driving somewhere, and kind of that was the first time I'd had a chat with them. And I came back in, I was like, no, this is really interesting. I know where they finished in the league last season, and I'd had a couple of offers already. There was one or two in League One and a couple in League Two. And just from speaking to Gareth, as now I know 10 years later, and so does everyone else who's ever been, you know, in a conversation with him, it's very hard to say no and not be kind of lured in by his affection and the way he is. So from that minute on, I was like, right, I want to go and speak to him. And thankfully, it all kind of went ahead after that.
It was brilliant that you kind of wanted to be involved in that project. And I guess you couldn't have imagined that you'd still be there kind of 10 years later and played such a part as well.
Yeah, of course. You never sign. I think the lower leagues especially, people stay for one or two years and move around. And very rarely do people stay for 4 or 5 years, let alone 10. And normally that happens only when you kind of have success. So when you signed, or when I signed there, I didn't expect to necessarily even get promoted. I think in League Two, you kind of always have a chance. I think it's quite open League Two always, that where teams can have a go at promotion. And when we started signing people like Paul Hayes, I was like, okay, hang on a minute, we may have a decent squad here and have a chance. And when you start the season like we did, it was, you just find yourselves in those top six positions and stay there all season. And then fortunately, we just kind of kept growing and kept having success. And I think there was only once or twice throughout my whole time there that we actually finished lower down the pyramid than we did the season before, which is almost unheard of in football. So, yeah, just such a great time over the 10 years. So many amazing memories, so many great people I've worked with. And I'll always look back at that as my, you know, the best time of my career by far.
Incredible to be part of the team, or a part of many teams that, you know, work their way up, as you say, from League Two all the way to the Championship. And did you kind of really feel that development at the time?
When I joined, there'd obviously been issues off the pitch with the ownership, the fan ownership, and Andrew Howard came in and kind of steadied the ship a little bit and changed the way I think the club was thinking off the pitch. And yeah, you could start feeling things going on differently. They started adding little bits to the training ground, started doing work. And you know, I'd come from other teams in Leagues 1 and 2 where the facilities were never like great. You know, they were never like Premier League standard, but you know, you dealt with what you had. And at Wickham, I always thought they were really good. And it was a club that was waiting maybe to go somewhere. And thankfully, yeah, it was nice to especially have the success early on of getting to the playoff final, and then a couple of years before we finally got promoted. But as soon as Rob Coward came in, then you realised, okay, now it's someone else to take it to the next level. And what Rob did was amazing, and took the club to the next level and became a really sustainable League One team, top end League One team. And now it's up for the new owners to kind of take it to the next level again. And that's just how football works. I think if you take a club, very rarely do you take a club from the Conference or League Two all the way to the Premier League. I know there's a few teams that are trying to do it, like to Wrexham and things like that. But, you know, for the majority of clubs, it's very difficult to do. And I think ownerships then, they promise a lot and they underdeliver a lot. So I think if you can understand where you're at as a football club, like Andrew Howard did, like Rob Coward did, and now with Mikhail Lomtadze, what he wants to do with the club as well, I think it's kind of knowing where you are as a club, knowing where you want to get to, and delivering that. And then if it's a case of moving on to someone to take it to the next level again, then so be it. But I think the progression has been very, very good.
And you hear a lot about the culture that Gareth and his team built. What was it like to be part of that?
Yeah, it's strange because until you kind of step aside from it and think about it, you don't understand, you don't realise that you're involved in it as such. I'd never really thought about how a culture could be set within a dressing room until I kind of went to Wickham and the first year of how a manager kind of gives, not necessarily authority, but allows the dressing room, the senior players to have a say in what goes on, to make sure that everyone's kind of doing things the right way. Beforehand, it was always the manager had a bit of a dictatorship, as it were, and players would just do what the manager said, and it didn't really matter if the older lads wouldn't necessarily be leading by example as such. And I think football's changed in that way as well, that it's got a lot more professional over the years, and it's still getting more professional now, that the older players, rather than wanting to go out or go to the pub or enjoy their life that way, they were starting to, when I came to Wickham, people like Matt Bloomfield, who were there, who was getting in early, doing extra work, you know, I'd never really done that before. So I started doing it because he was doing it. Then all of a sudden it breeds this culture of people doing extra, people working harder for each other. And you realise it's not just for yourself. Yes, it's for yourself to be better, but you're doing it to be better so that you're not letting your teammates down. And I feel that was so powerful we had in the dressing room, that and Gareth and Dobber were huge on that, that it was all about, you know, helping your mate out. And if you keep helping your mate out and helping your other mate out, then at some point they help you back and then it makes you better. And I think that was the culture that was set, and I loved it. I really, really, really loved it.
And as a footballer, is there a period or a time where you think, oh, I'm a senior player now, my role is slightly different?
Yeah, so I have this conversation a lot, and there's loads of times in training over the years at different clubs as well, and this still happens all over the country, where probably on a Friday you have like a bit of a down day after you've done all the prep for the weekend, and you'll have a little five-a-side or a small-sided game, and there's always like a young v old team. And as soon as you make that transition to the old team, it's really difficult to then ever go back to the young team. And at Wickham, I stayed out. We had a not an experienced squad, I'll say, for a long time. And I found myself being in that older group a lot more. And yeah, like I said, I think you want to take on that responsibility. Then you realise where you are in your position within the squad, within the dressing room. I think when you're younger, you just go, right, I'm just going to turn up, play football for myself, try and win, try and do well, try and get a move, contract, whatever it is. And the older you get, the more you realise, actually, no, I need to look after not just the players, but the good of the football club. You want to do things for the good of the football club. You want to make sure that you do things well, you lead by example, so that other people look up to you and think, well, you're playing, you've had a good career, I want to do that, so I'm going to replicate what you do. And it's amazing then seeing the likes of Luca Nine or Anas Mometi and people like that, who have come in and work as hard as anyone else has worked in the football club and got their rewards from it. So it's really nice to see those players kicking on, and as well as a lot of others that have done it in the past as well. But especially those two, I think, just for their work ethic around the place. And I think that comes from the culture, the senior players all leading by example and all being there and not being frowned upon because you're doing extra work and people saying you're the teacher's pet and things like that. It's because they want to improve and they want the team to improve, but everyone was doing it at the time. It almost became like who could get in earliest and who could stay in latest. And at one point, Kian O'Doxy, the physio, had to put signs up in the gym saying you have to leave by 4:30. I mean, training would finish at 12:30, but he was trying to tell everyone they had to go 4 hours later, which at no other club in the country would that be a case. Everyone would be out the door at 2:00. But at Wickham, it was a case of everyone wanted to stay there. And even days where you didn't necessarily want to do extra training, it was just being around the players, having chats, discussions, finding out about people's lives, what they're interested in. And it was just one big kind of nice family as such. And I think that's why we had success on the pitch as well.
And a fantastic blend as well, as you touched on, you know, it's like that group of senior players, but also the young talent that sort of Sam Grace brought through and others that came to the club as well.
Yeah, of course. And that's football, isn't it? You have to always be evolving. You can't just keep signing older players. I think the way the game's going now, it's getting a lot more dynamic. It's getting quicker, more physical. So you need to have that blend of youth in there as well. And the way the club is, without having an academy to lean on, the way the B team, I think, was fantastic, how the B team was created. And I know Pete Kurek had a big say in that, bringing in Sam Grace and just being able to unearth gems out there. And there's plenty of people that miss the academy system and don't get involved in it for whatever reason. They're just not picked up. They're not scouted, the wrong time, the wrong place, whatever it is. And there's plenty of players out there that could definitely play in the Football League. And the B team has shown that, you know, the amount of players that have come through, someone like a Chris Farina, who was playing, you know, really low down in university to bring him out as a gem, who's a top League One, probably Championship player, with the likes of Anis Mehmeti or Declan Skua at the minute, who's prime example of that, that he's come in and they've unearthed a great talent there. And it's credit to Sam Grace. And I think all of this is a great model for other clubs to look at. And I think now other clubs are looking at the B team model at Wycombe Wanderers and thinking this might be a really great, sustainable way of doing things, especially when finances are tight and academies are so expensive. Can we just have the right people in place to unearth these gems and have them for a first team?
An extra special course that you got to be club captain, was that something that felt quite natural to you?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd always been in captain roles, whether that was I did it at under 21s at Wales, I was doing it in like the reserve teams at Cardiff when I was younger. I'd done it once or I'd done it a few times at Shrewsbury when I was there. So it'd always been something I'm always comfortable speaking in group situations. I feel like I'm quite level-headed when it comes to after game. There's some people that are very emotional that will scream and shout and do all that, which is great. You do need some of them, but I'm always more kind of analytical of things and can take a step back, a bit like Richard Dobson is. I think Gareth was always a bit more emotional and Dobbo was the one that was kind of, you know, taking it all in and watch it back before he kind of comments on things. And I think that's how I am. So I think that along with people like Bayo, who is a huge motivator within the dressing room, I think I'm someone different and more calm and relaxed in a way where, you know, Bayo may shout and I'll maybe come in and have a quiet word with people and you know, try and explain things and try and get to people's level. So it's something that I always thought that I could do. It's obviously very nice when you're asked to do it and you do get that, the armband. It gives you that extra bit of kind of presence and feeling that, right, I need to be the leader today. I need to lead by example. I need to step up. And I was always very fearful that if I'm, especially when I was captain, that I didn't want to make any mistakes. I didn't want anyone to look at me and think my body language is down or I'm acting a different way or I'm not leading by example. That was a huge thing for me on the pitch where I felt like, you know, especially the younger players, if we were going through a tough game or we're up against it for periods, they'd look at me and I'd always try to be the calm one and the one to say, look, we're fine, we're okay. And whether or not I was inside is maybe a different thing at times. But I really enjoyed it. Like I said, I'm happy to speak, as you can gather by this conversation. And that's, you know, probably helped me now going into other things outside of football, which, you know, I'm very comfortable doing.
No, absolutely. I bet you're really looking forward to returning to the ground on Saturday for the Wrexham game. Obviously a sold out game, but will it feel strange, do you think? Or are you quite comfortable just turning up and not needing your boots?
I've been a few times this season and I've worked one or two games there for the radio and done a few co-commentaries there. And I've been there with you know, when I've known some of the players are not playing and I've sat with them. So it's been really good. And that what they're doing this season is, it's been amazing and it's been great to watch. And this weekend, when I knew it was this game and how big it was, I was desperate to go. So thankfully, the club have organised for me to go. It's going to be nice kind of seeing everyone. But I'm there as a fan. You know, I want the team to do well every week. That's the first result I look for, is the Wycombe result, and hoping that they can do it this season. And, you know, I've still got so many good friends there. I still speak to a lot of the players, you know, daily. And I'm excited for the weekend. I think they've got a great chance. I think if they can win on Saturday, I really, really think they'll do it. I don't want to put pressure on the players, but I believe that, you know, a win on Saturday and it will kind of cement them. I think it would be a big dent in Wrexham's kind of hopes if Wycombe beat them. But it's going to be a really, really tough game and it could be just decided by the old goal. So an intriguing one with a full house, which is great because the crowds haven't been as good as what I thought they would be or should be this season. So I'm really happy that it's a sellout. It's going to be an amazing atmosphere. Wrexham will obviously bring a lot of fans and hopefully on the pitch will live up to everything else that's going on off it.
And just finally, I don't know if you can help with something that Phil and I have been discussing on the show for a while and we're getting closer to a definitive answer, but when in your view does the business end of the season actually start?
Starts in August. You know what? It's strange, isn't it? Because every game is just worth the same as it was the whole way through the season. But I do understand the business end. And I think the countdown of the last 10 I think is huge, because you start, look, all the way through the season, you'll look where you are. I know when managers say that, you know, I don't look at the league table. It's impossible. You walk into the change room after the game, Sky Sports News is on, it's got the table and the results there in front of you. It's impossible not to look at it. So everyone will know where they're at. But I think now is the time where you put added pressure on, because you're thinking, if we don't win today and someone else wins, that's 3 points there, or that team could catch us here. And then you start looking at the run-in. I think when there's more than 10 games to go, it's really difficult to start thinking we've got a really tough 10 games, 12 games, whatever it is. But I think now when there's 10, when it goes down to single figures, you really start to worry about other people's results. And you're looking at, you know, everyone would have watched Tuesday night and been celebrating at home because Wrexham had a defeat. And, you know, that wouldn't have happened necessarily in August, but now people are definitely doing that. And I'm sure the players will be on the WhatsApp group celebrating Reading's victory the other night. I'm sure they would have done, and I spoke to each other about it. So I think now is the time. And I always think that Easter weekend, I used to say that Easter weekend is like moving day in golf on the third day of a Masters or something, where that's where the teams, you know, you can have a 6 point week or a 0 point weekend. And all of a sudden you're out of the playoffs, or you've pushed on from a playoff place to an automatic place, or you can survive relegation. So I think that weekend is the biggest weekend. It's my favourite weekend of the season. But I think the business end is now, when you're worried about other teams' results, where you are hoping that teams lose and celebrating, probably at home by yourself, but celebrating other results coming in. So I think we're in it.
Great news from Joe Jacobson, the former Wigan Wanderers club captain, confirming that we're actually in the business end now. The last sort of 10 games or so, you might have heard us speak to current skipper Jack Grimmer last week, who claimed that his view was that the business end starts after the international break. So the last kind of 9 games, which will be in a couple of weeks' time, of course, the international break coming up next weekend. Still to come, Rotherham on Tuesday night. That's our game in hand, as you heard Phil mention a little earlier on. I think Phil thinks we're in the business end currently as well. Still to come, we'll hear from head coach Mike Dodds. He mentions the business end a couple of times. And we'll speak to Carl Simon, manager of Wickham Wanderers Women, whose season is obviously slightly shorter, so their business end has, I think, already started. But we'll get his thoughts as well, still to come. Brilliant to catch up with Joe Jacobson. Spoke to him this morning. He was on his way to Cheltenham shortly after our chat as part of his media duties. I'm very pleased to say that was only part of our conversation, and part two can be heard on next week's show. I know, like a documentary series, sort of. Wrexham reference. Don't explain the joke, Colin. Next week, we'll hear from Joe a bit more, talking about some of his highlights of his 10 years at the club. We'll talk more about his testimonial season, of course, that fantastic game against Cardiff at Adams Park, and some other memorable goals that he scored, including free kicks and corners. And we'll hear about what his plans are for the future as well. So lots more to come from Joe Jacobson, of course, former left-back, former club captain, and he'll be at the game against Wrexham on Saturday. So make sure you don't miss next week's show for part two of our coverage of 10 years of Joe Jacobson at Adams Park. Really brilliant to catch up with him. And he said he enjoyed it as well, which makes a difference, doesn't it? More from the Wigan Wanderers Ex-Player Association, as I say, still to come as we continue the Wigan Wanderers show. More club news as well, though. This week, Tom Stockwell arrived as the club's new Director of Football Strategy and Data Intelligence. He joins from Nottingham Forest, where he's most recently held the role of Head of First Team Scouting Operations, playing a key role in the identifying and assessing of talent at the highest level. Forest, of course, in the Premier League. Before that, he was head of player insights for the first team and academy at Southampton, leading on data-driven teams and player evaluation. That was alongside building club-wide recruitment strategies. Tom will oversee the club's football strategies here, also driving a cohesive vision, the club say, across all football departments. A key part of his role will be the development and optimisation of data utilisation, ensuring that insights and are effectively embedded into decision-making processes. Sounds very important. He'll work closely with head coach Mike Dodds and all department leads, supporting tactical planning, player development and overall football operations. The chief football officer at the club, Dan Rice, told the club's website that he's really pleased to bring Tom on board to play an important role in the club's leadership and executive teams, shaping the club's future direction moving forward. He continued, they're very excited about the expertise that Tom brings and look look forward to the positive impact he'll have on the club.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire. And on your smart speaker.
Play Wycombe Sound.
This is Wycombe Sound. The Wycombe Wanderers Show. Thursdays from 7.
Final part of this week's Wycombe Wanderers show still to come. We'll hear from head coach Mike Dodds as he and the team prepare for the visit of Wrexham on Saturday. It's a sellout at Adams Park. I have been asked if I know if Ryan Reynolds or Rob McElhenney will be coming to the game. I don't know how I would know. I can tell you there'll be free face painting and also a double bus service. I'm sure both Hollywood A-listers will be impressed to know that that'll be on offer on Saturday. After that, on Tuesday night, of course, Wycombe Wanderers men's team travel to Rotherham. The women, a 7:30 kickoff, take on Reading at Adams Park. Only the second game to be played there, the first league game as well. And I'm very pleased to have caught up with the manager, Carl Simon, and I did want to get his impressions on when the business end starts as well. Obviously, their season is a bit shorter though than the men's.
Yeah, it started now. Last five league games. So the running has started. We're out of the cups now. So it's all focused on the league to finish as high as we can in the table.
And a really exciting time, and you must be so pleased, obviously, when we spoke to you before, but how the team is, it seems to be really clicking.
Yeah, we're in a really good place at the moment in time, and the team's playing exceptionally well. We've got all of our best players back now, and everyone's fully fit, so we're in a good stage. We had a bit of a tricky period where we had a lot of players out, and obviously we were introducing some younger players, but now we're back to full strength and looking forward to the running.
So would you say the team's pretty much kind of where you'd like them to be?
Yes, I have to say that. I'm quite happy with what we've done, the work we've done this season. Obviously, when you bring a lot of new players in, you do need to take time to settle. You know, you don't bring 6-7 players in and all of a sudden, straight away, you're hit the ground running. So, you know, it takes them 10-12 games to really bed in and let them understand what we as coaches want them to do and how we'd like to play. And I think we have that understanding with the players now. In training, it's quite good. The players understand the principles of what we want to do as a football team. So, we're in a really good place and ready to go again next season.
And it's been brilliant to speak to, obviously, the players on the show and just really hear how kind of focused and driven they are.
Yeah, it's about bringing in the right characters as well. We've got a good age profile of player that we bring in who've got the right type of experience. So that's really, really important. And it's bringing in those players who have an understanding of what it means to play almost in a semi-professional mindset rather than a grassroots mindset. And that's kind of the kind of shift that we've slowly been doing, as you know yourself, over the past couple of years. And we're now getting to that critical point now where we're getting players who are, you know, more self-motivated and understand the requirements of what we're looking for.
And obviously fantastic that, as you say, that the players are really kind of, you know, sort of moving in the right direction and, you know, doing some great things. And it seems such a great time to be having this game on the 18th as well.
Yeah, really looking forward to the game. We've waited quite a while since our last game against Sporting Benfica in the FA Cup when I first came in. So I'm really pleased to be getting this one on. If I'm right, I'm not sure. It's the first ever league game that the women's team will be playing at Adams Park. So it'll be a great occasion, I'm sure. Lots of tickets being sold. And, you know, we had the players down at Adams Park on Tuesday night to promote the game. So, we're looking forward to a really special night.
And obviously a lot goes into getting this on, as you say, and it'd be brilliant for fans to come along and support as much as possible.
Yeah, lots goes on, especially behind the scenes. And, you know, obviously the foundation in conjunction with the club have done a lot of work to put this game on for us. So, just really looking forward to it, to be honest. The players are really up for excited. It's a training night for us usually, so I think training's cancelled that night. So all the players from the younger age groups as well, from the under-18s, they'll be coming down to the game as well and giving us their support. So we'll all be there. The whole women's section will be there. And like I say, it'll just be a fantastic occasion. And it's a good one also for women's football, for Tier 5. But as a club, we're able to do this and give the other teams in the division that profile as well, that platform. It's just good for the league, isn't it? So, yeah, happy days.
I was going to say, a fantastic advert, because obviously Reading were playing at a high level recently and comparatively local as well, of course, so they'll bring plenty, you'd imagine, as well.
Yeah, well, Reading were always almost a flagship for women's football, and in this country. You know, not too far long ago, there was WSL. So it's great to have them come down, and we have to thank them for, you know, we had to rearrange the fixture because the men had a game and we couldn't do it. It clashed. And they were good enough to take the rearrangement. So we're really pleased for them to come down. I know they've got good support, Reading. They've got their own trust as well, foundation, and they've got really good support there. So we're hoping that there'll be a lot of supporters down. It'd be a great occasion for football as a whole.
And a great opportunity for people locally to see that the standard of, obviously, Wickham Wanderers women, but also, you know, women's football generally locally.
Yeah, that's something that's always been, every time I go to Adams Park, people always say, oh, we'd love to come, but, you know, Burns a little bit too far for us. So to be able to give them the opportunity to come to the stadium and see, you know, their chair girls is fantastic. And I think a lot of people are quite keen. You see all the activity on Twitter, or X, as they call it now. A lot of people are quite excited for this. Our sponsors are, you know, very keen, and it's great for them to have this exposure as well. Our sponsors who help us so much. So, for everyone all round, we're really, really pleased, happy. Can't wait for the game to come around.
And a great thing for fans to come and watch as well. Great attacking football on show.
Yeah, we've been fantastic. Over 70 goals this season we've scored. So you know, in terms of how we play and the work that we've done on the training ground, I think some of our players are having their best ever goal scoring seasons. So, you know, things are going really well. When I came in at the start of the season, we said we wanted more attacking flair, we wanted more creativity, and we have that now. So, yeah, it's just building on that and getting more results and climbing up the league.
Supporters get to see that the league's leading scorer in Kayla and some fantastic sort of wing play as well.
Yeah, obviously you've got Kayla up front and then you've got Amani and Jess on either side. So it should be very entertaining. Those players have done exceptionally well for us this season, really well for us this season. So I'm really pleased for them as well in their development.
And solid defensive displays as well. You're not conceding too many.
Yeah, the defence have been really, really good this season. We've been a lot more compact in what we want to do. Got new goalkeeper came in as well. So, once again, like I say, it was also a new back four, back five we were introducing, and that takes a little bit of time. But they've improved, they've done really well. Five clean sheets this season already. We can always do better, but so far we've done exceptionally well. We've got Bobby Lynch, who's really probably playing her best football since coming back from her ACL injury a couple of seasons ago. Obviously, Ashley Hart's in there as well, and we've got Kearney, who's been pretty much ever present for me since I came to the club. And young Sophie Harvey, only 16, who's doing fantastically well. I'm really proud of her, I have to say. So, we've got a mixture of youth experience in there. And it's a really good balance. And obviously we've got Amber Taylor as well, who's come in and done fantastically well. So we've got a really good balance in there of youth and experience. And it's working really well.
It's really nice, isn't it, to see those players who've been at the club such a long time and still enjoying playing. And, you know, players who are new to the club but are so proud to be playing. And also, as you say, the younger players who are working their way up through it as well.
Yeah, and that's key, isn't it, really? You know, we do this and we're there every Tuesday and Thursday. And sometimes I do take a step back and I look at these players, especially the older ones, you know, and you think the commitment that they give to the club. You know, they put certain parts of their life on hold, you know, whilst they're doing this. And, you know, for the younger players, it's a little bit different. We've all been young, haven't we? You know, our parents bring us to football and everything else, and we just want to go out and play football. But when you've got your career and you've got your own family and things like that, and your own home and things to take care of, and some of them have got quite demanding jobs, demanding roles, but they're there as players, working as hard as anybody else, week in, week out, and that has to be applauded. And I don't take that for granted at all. I've been in women's football quite a long time, and it's I wouldn't say it's a rare thing, but it's a very precious thing when you have senior players like this who put in this level of commitment. It helps very, very much in terms of where you want to try and be, where you want to try and get to. So, don't take it for granted and appreciate everything that they do.
And something else which is especially special, which I picked up on, you know, in the games that I've been to, is that how inspirational it is for young people, young girls especially, to see that the women's team playing and that they can take that into their own games and training as well.
That's the thing. You don't realise how much it motivates and inspires the younger players until they come in. We have do mascot packages and they come in, and you know, the reaction of the young girls, it's pleasing to see. You know, they really do idolise the players and respect what they're doing and want to do what they're doing, you know. And we always say, if you can see it, you can be it. And you can see that in these young players, you know, they come from local clubs and everywhere else, and we always try and let them come in the dressing room before the game and share that with the players, and the players are fantastic in giving their time. So it's great to see, and it's the odd occasions when you get to get that real warm feeling, that real pleasing feeling that you're actually affecting somebody else and helping someone in their journey, and being able to feel that they can aspire and do the same things. I'm sure many of them will.
What will be your message to any supporters who are listening and considering coming to their very first Wycombe Wanderers women's game?
Get down, get there. It's going to be an exciting game. It's going to be entertaining. You know, it's one club, and you know, we try our best to represent as best as we can. And you know, we love it when we have the Wycombe supporters come down. Like I say, we do get some that come all the way down to Burnham, and we get good messages of support from the supporters. So we're going to be at home on this occasion. It'll be a Tuesday night. I think the men's game will be on as well, because they're playing away, so I think that'll be on in the bar. So there'll be loads of facilities and loads of things going on. So yeah, it's going to be Wycombe men and women. Get down to Adams Park and cheer us on.
And a great opportunity for the female players to really feel that support and backing as well, especially at this key time of the season.
Everyone who's a part of Wycombe wants to feel a part of it. And if you're a player at Wycombe, you know, you want to play on the hallowed turf, as it were. You know, it's obvious. So the players are really, really excited just to be a part of it, just to be there. And you know, we just want to have that feeling. And you only get that feeling by playing Adams Park.
A really nice synergy as well with the men's team and the women's team both being second in their respective divisions.
Yeah, we're both doing the same. Like I said, this is probably for us, since I've been here, the best we've been performing in the league. You know, obviously we've got an outstanding Ascot team who have only drawn one game all season, and you know, fair play to them for that. And if they can finish the season with that, then we have to congratulate them. Still a few games to go, but you know, our season in particular, in the league especially, has been fantastic. It really has been a great season, I have to say that. And yeah, long may it continue.
Well, congratulations on what you and the team have achieved so far, and I look forward to following your progress for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and I'll see you there on the 18th.
Definitely.
Of course.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, mate.
Great chat to Carl Simon, Wycombe Wanderers Women Manager. I'll be there as well now. The Caledonian Suite will be open from 5:30 on Tuesday night. There'll be food and drink available. The Arsenal v Real Madrid Women's Champions League game will be on, as will Rotherham against Wycombe Wanderers in League One. If you're not going to Rotherham, you can take that in there. Some other information for you for Tuesday night. Drinks can be taken to seats, both alcoholic and non-alcoholic, so that's a bit of a treat for you. The stadium parking will be £1 via the ticket link or on the gate as well. So tickets for that game are £5 per adult and £3 for under-18s, and it's said to be a very good night. Wycombe Wanderers women on the back of a 5-1 win against Woodley on Sunday, so they're going to the game in great form. Let's turn our attention now, though, to the game that I'm sure many are looking forward to, that sold-out game at Adams Park on Saturday with the visit of Wrexham. Let's catch up with head coach Mike Dodds and get the feeling of how preparation has been going at the training ground this week.
Obviously, people understand that it's going to be a game that draws a huge amount of interest. But I think from my perspective, the final outcome of the season isn't going to be dictated to by what happens on Saturday. Obviously, we want to win the game. We'll do everything we possibly can to win the game. And we'll prepare as we have done previously. So it's not lost on us the kind of level of interest, but also there's got to be a level of sensibleness and balance to the fact that, you know, after Saturday, there's still going to be, 10 games still to go after Saturday, and there's still a huge amount of points to be won and lost.
And does it take on any extra significance, you know, obviously bearing in mind where the two teams are in the division, and you know, Wycombe have a game in hand as well, or is it just like preparing for another game, really?
Yeah, I think from my perspective, and I don't want to kind of play with a straight bat here, guys, I apologise, but from my perspective, it's just taking each game as it comes. And whether we're playing Wrexham on Saturday or playing, no disrespect to any of the teams in the league, someone else, the focus and preparation and the outcome, we want to still be the same. We want to try and win every game from now to the end of the season. We know that's going to be really, really difficult. We know we're going to have some really good performances, and we know we're going to have some kind of more mediocre performances, because we're at the business end of the season, and that's unfortunately just what happens, regardless of whether you're at the top of the league or down the bottom of the league. So yeah, it's trying, from my perspective, it's trying to sign really balanced, really kind of focused on the next game. And yeah, that's where my kind of mindset is.
Is there anything in particular that you're especially looking for or from the team? I know after the Peterborough game, for example, you were disappointed in the first half display. Is that something you've been especially working on this week?
Yeah, listen, I said what I needed to say at half time, I'll be honest with you. And the positive from my point of view, I got a reaction, which I think is a positive from my perspective. In terms of how the weeks work, I think this is only the second week I've had where I've had a single game week, an actual week to work with the players on the grass. So that's been a huge positive for me, regardless of whoever we're playing at the weekend, because we obviously want to try and implement a methodology, a kind of style of play. We want to try and implement that, which is obviously hugely difficult when you come in with, what, 16, 17 games to go. And also the team, you know, over the course of the season has performed really, really well. So, you know, I'm trying to strike that balance between evolving and also trying to continue all the good work that's gone on. So I'm more pleased the fact that I've had a single game week and I've had enough time on the grass. You know, the game on Saturday's done. I've said my piece at half time. I said my piece after the game. And the focus is always the next game.
I mean, obviously, you've only been in the role just over a month, but so much seems to have happened in terms of games. Does it feel like, you know, a lot's happened in that quite short space of time?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, it feels like a huge amount has happened. I was speaking, I think it was Jack Grimmer I was talking to last week, and I said, you know, Jack, I think this is 4 weeks today that I've been in, and he was like, God, I can't believe it's been 4 weeks. I think I see that as a positive, the fact that we've had a lot of new staff before. Obviously, I came in, we've had a lot of new players, so there's a lot of new things happening here. And I think one of my responsibilities was to try and come in and settle everything down. And I take it as a positive that the guys feel like it's been longer than 4 weeks. Well, I hope it is a positive. But yeah, as I said, I think this is only the second week where I've had a single game week. And the single game weeks are really important from a coaching perspective in terms of being on the grass with the players. The double game week's always difficult because you're preparing, playing, recovering, preparing, playing, recovering, and you don't really get a flow. So yeah, it's been a whirlwind kind of month, I'll be honest with you, but it's nothing that I haven't expected. And with all due respect, the next kind of, what was it, 11 games, I think, the next 11 games will be a complete roller coaster for myself and everyone. But we've got to try and stay really focused on what our objectives are.
I've been really pleased with the way that the players have adapted to your working methods and what you've tried to instill in the team.
Yeah, and listen, I knew that very early from the first couple of days that they were a really good group. They were a really receptive group. As I said, I've tried not to change too much, but I do want to try and implement some of my personality. You know, as I've always said, I want to be respectful of all the work that's gone on previously. You know, Matt obviously evolved it from Gareth, but Gareth in himself was hugely successful in terms of what he did. So, you know, I'm hoping the kind of Mike Dodds era, you know, it'll take time, but it will look different to Matt and it will definitely look different to Gareth, but it will be a really successful long-term project.
And obviously there could well be people coming on Saturday who've either perhaps not been for a long time or perhaps have not been at all. What would be your message to them in terms of, you know, what they can expect to see on the pitch?
Well, the first message would be come to more games. I mean that respectfully, you know, don't just come on Saturday, but, you know, it will be our responsibility to make sure that the performance is in line with, you know, trying to entice them to turn up more regularly. But yeah, you know, we want 3 points. I think that's probably put in the most black and white way of summarising the game. You know, the 3 points are really important. You know, I remember many, many years ago, one of the coaches that I worked under a few years ago, they said, you know, when you look back at the season, people won't remember, you know, good performances, bad performances. What they will remember, you can have the best performance in the world, lose 1-0. And what they'll look back on in 12 months' time is, they'll see a big red mark and the big L. So it's trying to strike that balance. I have to be respectful. This is business time of the season. So performances sometimes might not be where I want them to be. But the results are the focus. And would I have liked more wins? Of course I would have done. But I think the crucial bit is we've only lost, what, one game in the league. And you could argue the Preston was a defeat, but excuse me for my optimism. I'm not taking that as a defeat, losing on penalties. It's always the same every year that I've been involved, whether it be chasing promotion out of League One or chasing promotion out of the Championship. It's always the same. The business end of the season always becomes a little bit bitty and anxious and nervy. And that we're now entering into that phase. And what happens with that? Maybe decision-making doesn't doesn't become as reliable as what you want. The kind of performances maybe aren't as free-flowing as they are previously in the, earlier in the season. I think there's an element of teams now will be looking at Wickham thinking, oh, they are a really good team, and show an element of respect in terms of the way they set up. So you sometimes, and I don't want to get too technical with you, but sometimes you have seasons within the season, if that makes sense. And at the start of the season, you always find teams all a little bit gung-ho, and they go after teams, which opens the pitch up, which makes the games a little bit more exciting and free-flowing. And then you have the kind of that mid-season where people start to go, oh, are we in trouble here? Like, you know, do we need to change our style of play? And you have that kind of mid-season. Then you have the kind of business end of the season where people are, you know, teams will either be trying to fight to stay in the league or trying to fight to get into the playoff places, and it all becomes a little bit anxious and fractious. And what teams do, they take less risks. So you almost have like seasons within the season, and the latter is what we're going into now, where teams don't want to take risks. But we, as always, you know, we're not bothered about anyone else. We're bothered about what we do, and you know, we know the areas we've got to improve on, and we know the areas that we've been really good at.
Pleasure to chat to Mike Dodds. Speaking earlier on today at the press briefing, another interesting stat which came out of that was that Wickham Wanderers haven't won back-to-back league games since November. So that's something they'll be looking to address on Saturday against Wrexham and on Tuesday night against Rotherham. Join us next week. Might be the international break, but we'll have plenty to bring you a reflection from the Rotherham game, more from Joe Jacobson, and lots more as well. And of course, a reaction to Tuesday night's Wickham Wanderers game. More on that on the way. Do check out the website for more details. Enjoy the game on Saturday if you're going, or if you're going to be listening to the live commentary here on Wickham Sound. Have a great week.